Merry Christmas and welcome to the Grace Hour. It's great to be here with you this morning. I'm Pastor Ronaldo Brown, and I'm in the studio with Pastor Stephen Schibelli, and we're spending your last Grace Hour before Christmas. It's an awesome, awesome time of year. Everybody's heart seems to be open and warm and receptive to the things of change in God. We'd love to hear from you today. You can call in on the program at 1-800-338-7060 or locally at 1-410-483-3700. You can email us with questions at questions@gracehour.org, or you can also reach us on YouTube, Facebook, and we're on many of the podcasts that are available: Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, and Stitcher, just to name a few. And this is the last program of the week. We've been talking about really theatric action, and that's just an interesting way to say God and man, the life of God made manifest in the life of men, in the life of believers, in the life of people, the life of God made manifest through the power of the Spirit and the power of the Word of God by faith. And there's a beautiful application of that we find in Luke chapter 2, in the conception of Christ. When the angel of Gabriel approaches Mary and introduces the life of God to Mary and produces the life of the Son in Mary's life. And there's a great application in our life about that. But we're talking about the life of God made manifest in our lives, the theatric action of God's life made manifest in us. We read in 1 John chapter 5, verse 21, that he who has the Son has life. How do I tap into that life? How is that life made manifest in my life? Is the life that I now live in Galatians 2:20 just the life that I live, or is there something greater for me? This Christmas could be a great time to find out what the life of God is in my everyday life. Pastor Belli, the life of God, the made manifest, the theatric action.
I think a verse that I'm thinking of in 1 Timothy 3:15-16. And Paul is writing to Timothy and says that he wanted to make sure they knew how to behave themselves in the house of God, mm-hmm. which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Then he makes some phenomenal statements. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That's where he begins. We could talk about the other ones: justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached, believed on in the world, received up into glory, and all that. But I want us to concentrate today. God manifest in the flesh, and this is so key. The God man, and he's called the only unique one, or the only begotten, which is the translation only begotten is interesting. Actually, what it reads is it's very good in French, by the way. Son fils unique. Yeah, it is. Son fils unique.
It's excellent.
Yes. Monogenes. Monogenes is the word. And it means the one, the only one, the unique one, the personal one. That's what monogenes means. He's the one. He's the only one. There's never been anyone like him ever, because he was totally God yet totally man. He's the one, the only one, the unique one, the personal one. And this is only begotten occurring in John 1:14, 1:18, chapter 3, verses 16 and 18, and 1 John 4:9. That word is used. And really, God manifest in the flesh. And this is very important, for us to understand. Because Christmas can be about a lot of things. And I'm not saying they're wrong, but what is Christ all and in all, Colossians 3:11? And this is Christmas about Christ. And it's become, in this world, even in the Christian world, about so many other things at times. And it's really, it's kind of sad. And really, I wonder if it doesn't break God's heart when he thinks about how people view Christmas nowadays. It's just so many external things that really do not relate to that which is internal. And so as we consider what it means to lift up Christ and to see Jesus Christ as the life that is the light of all men. In him was life, and the life was the light of all men. And then it says three things. It says that darkness could not comprehend him. That's John 1:5. Darkness could not seize or take him in, the word that's used there, paralampeno, then it says that the world knew him not. So darkness could not comprehend him. The world had no personal relationship with him. The world knew him not. Then it says something very, very interesting. His own received him not. Even his own, the nation of Israel, his own received him not. But here comes the blessing. But as many as received him, he gave the power or the authority to become sons of God, even to them who are called by his name. So God manifests in the flesh. And then when he is manifest to us personally, we have an opportunity to receive him. Mm-hmm. And then we have an authority to become the children or the sons of God. And really, this is what Christmas should be all about. Not just God being made manifest in the flesh. That's the key and central theme. But how does that relate to me? How does that relate to me personally in my Christian life? And really, this is very important. And, you know, because darkness wants to blind people's minds. 2 Corinthians 3:14 and 4:4 wants to blind people's minds. Satan and the demons do not want people to understand what Christmas is. The old sin nature does not understand what Christmas is. The world definitely does not understand what Christmas is. And religion does not know anything about really what Christmas is all about. The life of Christmas, the very life of God, the Zoe life, the Zoe becoming bios, Zoe life of God, the life of Christ. And really, this is so important for us during this time of the year. And there's many other things that are made manifest or seen openly and visibly, but do they negate the truth of what really matters at as we celebrate this time of the year and every day of our lives, that God being manifest in our lives, that when a person is born again, and by the way, you will not know anything about Christmas unless you're born again. That's just point blank truth. You know, if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, Christmas to you is just some kind of religious holiday. If you don't have the Holy Spirit living in you in a way, I don't mean being carnal, but really being spiritual. A carnal Christian may have no idea what Christmas is really all about. But a spiritual Christian, a person who has the Holy Spirit living and reigning in their lives and is really led by the Spirit, filled by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, governed by the Spirit, then Christmas is much more than just a day. Christmas is a life. Yeah. It's the life of Christ. Christmas is a life, and that is key. And that's what manifests, that life manifests light, makes things very visible mm-hmm. and very clear. And so you're out there today, and we'd like to hear from somebody.
Let me ask you this question. And if you want to reach out to us, we'd love to hear from you. You can give us a call again at 1-800-338-7060. 410-483-3700. We'd love to hear from you. I want to ask you this question, Pastor Billy. There's a lot of people in this season who are looking for a new life, a different life, another life, a better life. They do the whole consideration over the last 12 months of their life, and they kind of take their accounting, and they realize, I'm not happy with the life that I have. And maybe I'm born again, and the very life of God is in me. So this life that I have, I'm dissatisfied with it because it doesn't seem to be enough.
I think they're jumping right past Christmas into New Year's trying to find something new. You know what I mean? But, yeah, right, in other words, like I can be born again and have the Spirit of God living in me, and I can be saved, but am I growing as a believer? Am I manifesting the life of Christ? It doesn't mean like certain religious connotations that people would attach to it. But is Jesus' life in me?
Mm-hmm.
Is his love in me? Is his faith in me? Is his righteousness in me? Is his power in me? Is his leading of the Spirit in me? Like, is God in me? Christ in you, Colossians 1:27. It's the hope of glory.
Yes.
It's the hope of glory. So what is manifest today? And if all that's manifest at Christmas is just maybe gift giving, which is awesome in itself. I like gifts, don't you?
Yes.
We like gifts, yes. But you know what? The greatest gift ever given was God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
And maybe
gave.
Maybe there's this, in my discovery for another life, maybe Christmas is the season I discover the life that I have with God. Paul said it in Philippians 3. He said, I have not really comprehended what has apprehended me. I've got something. I haven't really got my head around it, but I know something is in me. And I'm trying to, after 18 years as an apostle, I'm trying to figure out what this thing is that I've received. I got something from God. It happened to me on the road to Damascus. Something came into my life, changed my life, and I still haven't gotten my head around what that was. The mystery within me. And if I don't discover that mystery of the life of God in me, if it's not made manifest in my experience, it sounds just like high theology, right? Like, oh, yeah, I've got the life of God. Yeah, well, it doesn't look so much different than the life that I have now, unless the life of God is made manifest.
Someone in me.
Yes.
That's the key. You know, like sometimes people look at salvation as, you know, doing something, and that's works. But salvation is the gift of God's Son to me personally. So God comes into my life and lives in me. It's not about something external, going to church, being baptized, doing good works, keeping the law, or whatever that might be. But it's allowing someone, saying yes to someone who wants to live in me. And that's why Nicodemus had no idea what Jesus was talking about. When Jesus said, you know, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man, you know, go back into his mother's womb and be born again? He had no understanding of what Jesus was saying. A spiritual birth, 1 Peter 1, 21, 22, and 23, James 1, 17 and 18, John chapter 3, verses 5 through 8, about a spiritual birth taking place. And so you could pass through this Christmas season and not have a spiritual birth, and Christmas is just a religious holiday, which is honoring one who really wants to live in you. But you've missed the whole thing. You've missed it. People have missed it. They've missed it. They've got the celebrations. They got the externals. They got the ceremonies. They got the feasts. They've got the giving and all that. But if you've missed Jesus Christ, you've missed that which is everything is all about, what Christmas is really all about. The birth of the Son of God, yes. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. But what about the birth of Christ in us personally? How about Christ being manifest in the church?
Yes.
Imagine a church that doesn't have Christ. They're not born again. I mean, what an interesting ambassador they can become for another kingdom.
Well, they may have doctrine. I mean, it was A.W. Tozer said that. A.W. Tozer said the greatest theologian in the world is the devil. He's got the greatest theology, and yet he's still the devil. So it's like you could have Bible, you could have all of that. You could manifest the word without the life, and then what would that do?
Right. There's a lot of groups out there that know the Bible, Jehovah Witnesses, Seventh-day Adventists, people like that.
Sure.
They're not saved. I mean, maybe there can be some saved Seventh-day Adventists. I don't know. But I'm saying overall, their theology is so contrary to the scriptures and a spiritual birth. And whether you're Catholic or Protestant or any of these things that we have talked about, or name, Baptist, if you're not born again, then Christmas is nothing to you. Christmas is just something external, a gift-giving operation where you've missed the one who was given as the greatest gift ever, God's only Son. You know, they missed it. You missed it, you know?
It's got a certain level of history to it. In the history of the country of England, there were times when they actually legally banned Christmas. Whole sections of their history, Christmas was banned. For various reasons, it was banned. It's like, okay, they couldn't nail down the date. They couldn't nail down the value. They couldn't nail down the history. And now it's so far away from a son being born, from the gift of a son to the gift of a gift. It went from being a vertical epiphany, really, to a horizontal transaction where I'm giving you and you give me, and then I'm looking forward to the transaction. And I like Mary's heart in Luke chapter 1. She was kind of nervous because when you think about receiving the magnitude of the life of God, like you said, the gift of God's Son, when you contemplate that, you would be nervous too. And I think sometimes many of us, when we consider the life of God, we think, okay, oh my God, the God is living in me. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, I am the tabernacle of God. God is tabernacling in me. And every day, that can be awestruck. You can be like blown away by that. But on the other side of that, being able to experience that very life of God, the Galatians 20, the life I now live, I live in God, the John 3:30, that I am decreasing. And that's really the magnification of God's life through theantric actions, that I'm beginning to decrease as I walk by faith in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And he is increasing in my life so that he is made manifest. And like I like what you said earlier, then my Christmas is every day. If Christ is made manifest in my life, I have a merry experience every day. Every day I can experience
that. I like how she, after having, she has the Son of God in her, and I like how she said, and my spirit exults in God, my Savior. She knew he was not just my, that's just not my son, but he's my Savior, you know, because of a supernatural initiation from the Holy Spirit to conceive in her, that which is born of you will be called Son of God. You know? And that was so key. And by the way, there's many people that magnify Mary. And I can say magnify Mary as a great woman of God, but she's not beyond a human being.
Yeah,
she is a woman of God. She had God. She needed to also be born again. She needed to have a spiritual birth. And that took place, you know. But it's interesting to me how people can go throughout this entire time of Christmas and not even consider the person of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
They would. Oh yeah, they could consider Jesus Christ, but never consider the person of the Holy Spirit. So they're considering Jesus Christ as something, some figment of history, but they don't consider the Holy Spirit's person coming to live in them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's so key. You must be. It doesn't say you should be, or you ought to be, or you could be, but you must be born again. You must have a spiritual birth. Anybody out there?
Bishop, this question, in all your years of Christmases, and you've had one or two, have you ever had
75.
A Christmas where you've, in that particular year, you sensed a unique anointing or the presence of the life of God, any of those Christmases?
Oh, I would say since I got saved, yes.
Specific ones that are like hallmarks.
Specific ones that were hallmarks?
Yeah.
Probably, I would say, a Christmas in Africa.
Okay.
That was a hallmark. That was in, let's see, 1988, 89.
Okay.
That was a hallmark Christmas for me, Christmas in Africa. I think the first Christmas after you were, when you got saved, and if you had Christmas, my first Christmas after being born again was monumental.
Mm.
It was so different than just the normal celebration that we all went through. Another great Christmas was the Christmas after I got married. Now you're experiencing Christmas with your wife. Then about the Christmas after you have children.
Yeah.
That Christmas is also something special because you see them enjoying it, really.
Yeah.
And I think Christmas, having Christmases in foreign countries.
Yeah.
You know, like Uganda or Ghana, places that were, it was so unique and so different, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, where was the snow? Well, I don't know if there's any snow in Jerusalem.
I don't remember a tree. I don't remember anything.
There was no such thing. We didn't see trees, did we?
I didn't see a Christmas tree in Africa until the 2000s. There was no such thing. I remember, let's see, when I would think most recently, last year in Botswana, I was illegally detained because I was supposedly COVID positive because I had a false positive. So they detained me. And I remember saying, I can't believe I'm going to spend Christmas alone. I haven't done that in a long time. That was quite interesting. I'm going to miss Christmas.
Awesome Christmas too. Now it's you and God.
Well, that's what the funny thing was. I actually was locked up. They had me in a room with an adjoining bathroom with no door. It's like a one room deal. Food was at my door because I wasn't allowed to interact with people. I tried to break out at about 2 a.m. That was hilarious. I tried to escape. I got to the hallway and they caught me. And then they tried to say, you're going to be here longer. You're going to jail. I said, well, I didn't technically leave the house yet. So you can't say I escaped. But I just fell into a fit of laughter. I think I laughed for like 25 minutes. It was highly comical. I think when you have an expression, a part of the expression of the life of God is that there's a lot of joy.
Yes.
When you find the presence of God, you find a lot of joy. You're lighthearted. There's a lot of liberty. There's a lot of peace. You can be in trouble, but you can't be troubled. You can be in distress, but not be distressed. You can be challenged, but not be changed. All of these things are possible in the life of God. The greatest gift you can unpack this Christmas is the gift that you already have. It is the life of God in you. The action of God's life made manifest. The life of Christ and the life of an individual believer is powerful. I think Washburn Nee wrote a book called The Latent Power of the Soul. The power of the soul is minuscule in comparison to the power of God in you, the life of God made manifest in you and through you through the Spirit by faith.
Anybody out there?
And we have access to that.
Hello.
They are out there.
They're there. They're not calling in.
They might be
you
just listening.
You could call us and wish us a grace, joyous Christmas. Hello.
I would love
listeners.
Love to hear your great Christmas, actually. Maybe you have a Christmas where God was particularly personal to you, where you personally had a merry experience, where God was very close to you. We'd love to have you call in and give us a chance to hear about that and share with our listeners. You can reach us on 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700. We've got a few comments in so far. John Green says Merry Christmas.
Who?
John Green says Merry Christmas to all. Vladimir says, praise the Lord, hugs and love from Ukraine. Kevin Van Diver says, hi. Hannah Pinkova says, please pray for my kids, Samuel Pinkova and Miriam Petrella and family. Their precious grandma is passing away. We just pray for them right now, God, that you would just encourage those kids as they lose their grandmother slowly. We just ask you, God, to comfort them and minister to that family, God. And make your life made manifest towards them. That's our prayer this morning, God. In your son's name, amen. And hello from Joanne Smith as well.
Wow.
We'd love to hear from you. It's Christmas.
Come on now.
It's your body of Christ. We're corporately loving each other in this season in a special way.
And listen to what the devil would like to do. The devil would like to give you a Christmas gift. You know what that is?
What would that be?
Worry, anxiety, fear, doubt, human reason, occupation other than Jesus Christ. Really, I was reading this verse today, these two verses today, and they really, really spoke to me very clearly. From Isaiah 9, 6, and 7, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. I love it. Then it gives five descriptions of him in that verse. Five descriptions. This is a great Christmas message. He is called Wonderful. The word is Pele, almost like the soccer player. Pala. It means he is extraordinary. He is supernatural. He's a miracle. He's marvelous. He's beyond natural thinking. He's Jesus. He's wonderful. Then he's counselor. The word ya'atz means he has an eternal purpose, a plan, a direction. He's called Mighty God, El Gibor. He's our hero. He's the faith hero, giving us victory, authority, and power. El Gibor, Wormbrandt loved that particular one. He's called, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. He's eternal provision, protection, giving you love, mercy, and grace. And then he's the Prince of Peace. It actually reads, he's the ruler of peace, or he's the Peace of Peace, Sar Shalom. He brings harmony and unity with his peace. So he's wonderful. Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's the description of Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Unto us a child is born, and that child is a son that's been given. And really, when we think about it, think about this verse, think about Christmas. Why are we and other people, even Christians, so occupied with such non-essentials and nonsensical things? They just get so occupied. I got them this. They didn't get me anything.
Yeah.
I got, you know, and all these different things about what they need to give people, about all the situations and troubles in their life. And it was put away all the relationship problems and situations and just see your relationship with Jesus Christ as the most important relationship you can ever have in your life.
Yep.
And that will take care of other relationship problems. You're always going to have relationship problems.
Yeah.
I mean, is there ever going to be a marriage that never had a disagreement? I don't think so. I don't think we manifest them and we magnify them, but there's going to be marriages, friendships, there's going to be families, fathers, sons, mothers and sons, fathers and daughters, mothers and daughters, cousins, and all kinds of things that go on. People in the church, you know, people, I can't believe it that's happened in the church. Oh, really? Mm. Really? Oh. And by the way, be careful you don't judge the church. Mm. But just because they're sinners, saved by grace there, and things can happen, and they're there to you for you to be a strength for somebody's weakness or to give mercy for their sin. Be very careful. I find some people, they make comments about the church sometimes, you know, and in all reality, do you even understand really what you're a part of?
The sure.
body of Christ, you know? So, you know, just I'm going to examine myself to see whether I'm in the faith, you know, rather than always be thinking and speaking about other people. That's very, at Christmas, let's just do away with that, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's rid ourselves of wrong thinking, analytical thinking, thinking in any negative way, but think high thoughts about Christ, mm-hmm. high thoughts about who you are in Christ, high thoughts about the church, high thoughts about the eternal purpose of God. Think higher thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
They will produce higher ways. So, you know, the reason why people and all of us can have ways that are not good is our thinking is wrong.
Mm.
Higher thoughts produce higher ways. Isn't that right, Cody? Higher thoughts produce higher. I want to make sure he was awake.
He's always awake. Yeah. We'd love to hear from you. We're talking about the life of God as the topic today, the life of God in the life of the believer in this season. We'd love to hear from you at 1-800-338-7060 and 1-410-483-3700.
What are some of these people saying?
I see
a lot of people.
We have some of them are saying the same thing, actually. Andy gave us a Hallmark Christmas. I'd love to hear your Hallmark Christmas, spiritually speaking. He said Shanghai, China in 1987. Andy, what happened in Shanghai, China in 1987? That must have been an interesting Christmas in the 80s in China. I'd love to hear that. Call in or type in. Tell me what was Hallmark
Andy
about.
Andy Valaitis, I think. Yeah, it must be.
I'd love to hear. It just says, Andy, I'd love to hear about your Shanghai, China experience.
Shanghai.
Let's see. We've got... greetings from Canada. Lisa's calling us.
Calling or saying hi?
Both, actually, soon. Joanne Smith says, hi, I should have a chance to share the gospel on Zoom today. Marion says, thank you, God, that you're safe. She's talking about Karen Massengill and the tragedy with the fire there in Pittsburgh. You guys are still displaced. We're praying for you as well. This is an interesting Christmas. It's an interesting Christmas because it's the one that God has given us right now. It's the present Christmas.
The only one you got.
We have to think with God about it, have God's mind about it, manifest the life of God in every place. Manifest the life of God in every place. How do we do that? By fellowshipping with the life of God that is within us, we will reveal the very life that we contain. Our natural vessel is broken and the treasure of God's life is revealed. That is the challenge for us every day. And we do that by faith. We don't do that by works. We don't do that by manipulation or by force, but when we engage God by faith in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, through the power of God and the Word of God, makes manifest the character and nature of God. We'd love to hear from you.
Amen.
Please reach out to us again.
Candlelight tonight too, right?
Yes.
Can we announce that?
You just did.
I just did. What time does it start, do you know?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. Candlelight service if you can make it. You can brave the weather.
But weather.
Give it a shot, you know?
Plenty of parking, by the way.
it'll all be moved out by that. But I'm hoping that by the time 4 or 5 o'clock comes, that the sun comes out, and instead of being 20 degrees, it's 52.
That might be one of those Hezekiah moments when the sundial goes back, because 4 or 5 o'clock, the sun doesn't usually make
really.
The sun makes manifest in your life, but not in our weather. I'm thinking that's not going to happen.
At 4 o'clock, the sun's out. It can be out at 4.
It's making its way back home.
I don't know.
You're taking Uganda.
Uganda from going back home.
Yes. Awesome, awesome thoughts about the life of God. Let me ask you a question, Pastor Belly. Let's say that it's Christmas. And maybe I'm thinking about my life, my natural life, and I would like to instead engage God's life. What are some things and ways that I can do and think to do that?
First of all, cast down vain imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God,
okay,
and bring every thought into captivity. So the things I've been thinking about that are maybe not related to God, over.
Okay.
Finished. cast them down. Cast them down. Mm-hmm. Some of the things I can think about. Number one, that Jesus Christ, that God was manifest, that mm-hmm. God became a man. Mm-hmm. That's an amazing miracle. Number two, that he paid the penalty for my sins. Redemption, propitiation, reconciliation. He died on a cross for me. Mm-hmm. Okay? I'm saved. You're talking about a saved person, right?
Yes.
I'm born again. I'm going to heaven. Heaven is my home. And even if I experience tests and trials and difficulties in this life,
right.
This earthly life is not my eternal existence. Mm. I'm going to heaven. I'll be with the church, the body of Christ, with family. Mm. I'm going to heaven where there'll be no sin, no devil, no world, no politics, no taxes, no government, no elections, okay? No snow, no shoveling, no cold weather.
Wow.
No, imagine that. No freezing cold weather.
Preach it.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Like, consider. Count. Remember Pastor Stevens used to sing that song? Count your blessings.
Yes,
name
sir.
Them one by one.
Yes.
Look at what God has done.
Yes.
You know? And so it's not thinking about what you want God to do.
Okay.
And if he does, amen. And you can pray towards that. But look what God has done.
Okay.
He's made you a brand new person in Christ. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation.
Mm-hmm.
All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm a new person in Christ. Old things are passed away. Don't let them hang around.
Okay.
Don't let them hang around. Don't let them bother you. Don't let them torment and torture you. Things that have happened. You know, I had a statement, a message one time in Africa. If the past controls the present, it destroys the future.
Mm.
You know, don't live in the past. So many people live in it. We can live in the past, things that have happened. You know, what my father did to me, what happened when I in church, in a relationship with somebody, what the pastor said or didn't say, and the past, and maybe difficulties in a marriage or problems with children, whatever. Don't let the past live in the present.
Okay.
It's over. It's gone. It's done.
Mm.
It's finished. You know, don't live in it. Live in the new.
So you said, let's put this together. You said, first of all, everything that I'm thinking about, and this might be a very discriminatory thing you do, but be non-discriminatory. Everything you're thinking of, release it. Let it go.
Let it go.
Even if it's important, holding is not going to solve it. Let it go. Release that.
Yes.
You said 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down vain imaginations. Then you said rehearse specifically
mm-hmm.
the life of Christ, the birth of Christ, the introduction to life. We spoke about this in Owings Mills last night about how when you read in Luke chapter 2, 1 through 7, you read in the humility of how Luke describes Jesus Christ's birth. In his first 7 verses, he never mentions the word God. He never mentions the word Lord. He never mentions the word Savior. Up until the birth of Christ in Luke chapter 2, he never mentions anything divine until his birth. On the other side of his birth, then he's God, he's Savior. Mm-hmm. He's always, because Luke was trying to show you that it was a very ordinary beginning. An ordinary mm-hmm. beginning. And that's the same way God comes in my life. Sometimes you want God to come in your life with the bang, the wow. And he comes in every day. He comes in the still small voice. Mm-hmm. He comes in an ordinary way. He comes to me in an easy way. And when he comes to me like that, I can receive him and I can respond to him. And I like the way you said rehearsing the simplicity that we have in Christ, rehearsing that.
Otherwise, you get too complex. You know, some people
sure.
are so complex in their mind. And they just need this, you know, think with simple truth. Simple truth
mm-hmm.
defeats sophisticated darkness. And just simply believing that I'm a saved person. I'm going to heaven. Jesus cares for me. He has given me the Holy Spirit to live in me. I have a future in heaven. I have an eternal purpose. I have a church, a body of Christ that I can fellowship with. I can go to church. I have a Bible to read.
Amen.
I mean, many people don't have a Bible. I mean, many people around the world, they have no access to a Bible. I think a good percentage of Christians, especially when you think about China, places like that, no access to a Bible. I have God's word
yes.
in front of me. I can pray to God. Imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
I can actually talk to God.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible. I can ask God. I can pray to God. I can confess my sins to God. I mean, do we realize the privileges that we have as a believer? Then we wouldn't be so caught up in all of these little things that seem to distract us from the greater things, the high things of God. Little things, you know. Oh my God, my tire needs air. You know, I'm going to have a conniption fit, you know.
Wow.
Oh my goodness. What's going on? What's happening out there? You know, I can't find the shovel, the snow off my walk, you know.
The one inch that I have
of snow. And people have, they're just out of their minds about everything that's going on. Oh my God. I never knew that the electricity bill would be this high, you know, and whatever. So what? That's the way it is. What are you going to do? You know, shut it all down and just live without electricity. Live in the dark. I don't know.
We'd love to hear from you. Maybe you can share your Christmas greetings with us, a chance to just share Merry Christmas, your Christmas greetings with us. Come on, give us a call at 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700, or you can type it in. You can reach out to us at gracehour.org, Apple or Spotify or YouTube or Facebook, Amazon Music. Reach out to us that way. We'd love to hear from you. Christmas greetings. Let's see.
Grace greetings.
Marion says, yes, Pastor, this is our God who is our life. Praise him. Laird Bean says, how awesome and incredible that God Almighty, the creator of the universe, would so love all of us that he would become a tiny, helpless baby in a cow stall beyond tremendous. Kevin Van Diver says, how about this as a gift from God, the lifting of our hands just to say thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Andy says, Psalm 116, verses 12 and 13, what shall I give unto the Lord for all he has done for me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Lisa says, I guess they couldn't. Thank you very much for holding the fort. I need your podcast this morning. Hallelujah. God speaks every day in it. God bless Grace Hour. Some of the greetings we have so far. Merry Christmas to you. Maybe you're by yourself somewhere, you're working, or you're just busy doing something. God is with you, and the very life of God is with you. The very presence of God is with you. Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of all glory.
Do you think it's a sign of the times that people don't call that anymore? They just rather communicate by these technological devices. It's very interesting to me. Like I remember years ago, we would have so many phone calls.
Pastor Belly, I can't make that assessment.
I am. You're not making. I'm saying, like, is anybody out there? You could call us. We'd love to hear your voice. You know, it's interesting. No, we do have a society today that would rather watch the internet, a church service on the internet, than come face to face. And it seems like it's regressing more that way. It's going in that direction where this idea of contact with human beings has become something that, like, is scary for people.
Well, in this season, surprisingly enough, as joyous as Christmas is, there is a lot of isolationism. People get alone. Yeah. They get by themselves. They want to draw away. I think sometimes you said it. You hit the nail on the head. I think life can be very distracting. My life can be overwhelming. The requirements that I have, the expectations that I have that are not being met.
I got a verse for you, though. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Get out of the overwhelming stuff, you know?
Sure.
And really, come on. It's just like, I read a story about a guy who got burnt in a fire, and the only thing he could read with, he lost all sensitivity in his hands, even his lips, but he read the Bible with his tongue.
Good Lord.
Oh, yeah. How about that one?
Wow.
And he was praising the Lord that he had an opportunity to read the Bible by running his tongue across Braille. And that was how he read the Bible. That's a true story. Mm. You know, he couldn't use his fingers for Braille at all. So the only place, even the outer part of his lips, because of the fire that burnt his face, he couldn't do it. So but he did have sensitivity in the tip of his tongue, and he read the Bible in Braille. Like, I think he used to say 5 times through every year.
Good Lord.
He just, can you imagine the patience of doing that?
I can't imagine using my tongue in that fashion for an entire year. I think I would struggle with that. I want to apologize to some of you who've been trying to get in. Evidently, we're having some technical difficulties.
It's us then.
Yes.
It's not them. It's us.
It's always us. There's some folks that are trying to call us and get through. And right now, because of technical difficulties, we can't receive your calls right now. But we would love to hear
from Cody.
You online. You can type out your Christmas greetings. Robert Osaga says, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, Pastor Shabelli, Pastor Ronaldo. Keep us in your prayers. Pray for the ministry. Joni says,
Nebby.
Tried to call both numbers, no answer, just wanted to share a beautiful story. Went to buy something on Facebook Marketplace, ended up spending 3 hours with this couple. The Trinity was so present. Isn't that what the life of God is?
Yes.
It is.
Who was that that said that?
That was John Porfirio Owen Scott.
Wow. Joni. That's great.
But isn't that what happened in Matthew chapter 3, 16 and 17? It's like you had the Son, you had the Spirit, and you had the Father. You had
Trinity.
A theatric moment right there.
Theatric moment. You got to get that. I knew you'd get that word in.
Hey, that word is as old as the ministry. Come on now. Theatric.
Yes, older than ministry. It's Greek.
Theos, anthropos, right? God and man, right? That's the word.
I read this morning Matthew 3. In Matthew 17, and in a valley or in a mountain, it was the same confession. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Mm. So maybe your Christmas seems to be a valley, or maybe it's a mountain. But in both places, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So God is pleased with his Son. So when I'm in the valley, meet the Son of God in your valley.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be, it'll be a pleasing experience. It won't be a valley, a darkness, a trial, a test. When you're on the mountaintop, sometimes people get very successful in Christianity and they forget God. Mm. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Mm-hmm. Listen to him. You know, so Matthew 3 is the valley. Matthew 17 is the mountain, but the same expression is used there. The same words are used.
Yes.
This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Mm. See, God is not pleased in so many things that people seem to think brings pleasure. It's amazing.
Yep. The plan of God and the life of the Son, it's amazing that the life of the Son is in places we would never look for.
Mm-hmm.
Looks are deceiving, right? It's like this. I want to say this, the life of God is spiritually discerned. It's spiritually mm-hmm. discerned. The great thing about Mary in Luke chapter 1 is she was a spiritual woman and she discerned the life of God. So she can say with her life by faith, be it unto me. Not because she's a great woman, but she discerned a great God in her life.
And there's a great God, and I want you to have joy in China today. Hey. In China, have joy. This is unto you, a child is born unto us, a son is given. Unto you in China, unto you in India, unto you in any part of Asia, unto you in Russia, unto you in Eastern Europe and Europe and South America, Central America, America, Canada, and Africa.
There we
Don't
go.
Don't forget about Africa. And Africa, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given.
Amen.
And that's a great statement. The child is born, that's Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
The son is given, that's the cross.
Beautiful.
Really, that the son is given. He's given to us. His life is given, and then his death is given.
Mm.
And they're both gifts. His life and his death are both gifts.
You know? Pastor Belly, as we close out the program, maybe a Christmas greeting from you.
A Christmas greeting.
From you.
Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Have a joyous Christmas. Always trusting in the faithfulness of God, believing in God, and seeing him. May he be that which is the center of your Christmas.
Don't forget tonight, candlelight service, 7 o'clock, 6025 Moravia Park Drive. Come on down, worship with us together. Let's bring in this season together as we gather, sing, and worship, and praise God together as the body of Christ. God bless you. Merry Christmas, and we'll see you next week on the Grace Hour. Okay.